Can I say something to you as a friend? And only a friend would tell you this. You don't dress properly. I'm sorry to say it, but you don't. Well, first of all, your shoes are on backwards. Yeah, the toes should be in the front of the part of the shoe. Also, your pants are on backwards. The zipper isn't supposed to be up your ass, as convenient as it may be for certain purposes. And your bra, turn it around so it covers the bosom. You're not really understanding what's wrong with you.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Just trying to help. I'm just pointing things out.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, oddly enough. How did that happen? That's not what I clicked on. I clicked on the porno site with the two young ladies. How did I get this?
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Welcome to the program. May I say, I don't know if I'm a real man because I don't think I've grabbed any pussy this week. Oh my God, I'm not presidential. I think we're all a little bit weirded out by that kind of stuff. But here's why I think that my fellow man and my fellow woman have just abandoned me on the subway platform with no trains coming. Because this is all okay now. It doesn't matter anymore. You can say the most ridiculous, lewd lies, horrible things, sexual, awful, degrading, fat-shaming things. But it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. We can all do it. All the rules are out the window. All the morals are out the window. It doesn't matter anymore. We have evolved to crap. We started as crap. We grew from crap. We got high up there, and now our leader is taking us back down into crap. And if you ask anybody who has traveled the world, or the media and the press is the enemy of America. My God. If you ask any of them who have traveled the world, the United States is now a laughingstock. At this point, people in other countries still believe that the citizens of the United States are okay. It's just that the leader is very fucked up. That's embarrassing. But I got news for you. The people aren't too cool either. There are a lot of people in this country who kind of don't understand what this whole big picture is. These are people that still eat with their hands and sit on the porch in a rocking chair waiting for the ice cream truck to come by. Uh-oh, we're all in trouble. I'm just saying, man, there's got to be, I'm embarrassed. I'm just embarrassed. I really am. I have never felt embarrassed before about living in the United States and being a citizen. I'm still not. But I'm embarrassed for the schmuck that sits behind the desk in the Oval Office. I'm embarrassed for him. And whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent or some type of interplanetary ape, you must agree with me on one thing as far as that president guy is concerned. Nobody will argue this with me.
Please be quiet.
Just stop tweeting.
Please be quiet.
Put your twat back in your pants.
Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
Oh my God,
please stop. Please be quiet.
Please.
Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Thanks. I mean, I wouldn't even thank. I just shut up. Just shut up. I think that Congress should immediately sit down in that building in the Capitol and pass an amendment to the Constitution that the President of the United States is not allowed to tweet. You cannot have a president tweeting crap without thinking about it. That's dangerous. Do you realize that North Korea is actually getting out of control? We knew it would happen, but now it's kind of like happening. And China today issued a warning to everyone saying if North Korea doesn't stop doing its missile launching, and if the United States doesn't stop performing military exercises in South Korea, that this could be a very ugly standoff. And you don't want ugly standoffs with nuclear weapons when Schmuckface is in the Oval Office. The guy that makes stuff up and gets angry because the pen leaked on his pants or something. I mean, God. What happens when Trump tweets in the middle of the night and fat shames the Korean guy? Cow Jump Moon, Shiba, I don't even know the guys. What happens then? Why, the North Korean guy actually got upset with a movie that that had him portrayed in a bad light, in a stupid run around shoot 'em up movie. He got concerned about that. What do you think he's going to do if when Trump starts tweeting about North Korea? Shut up, Donald. Pack your bags up. Go back to your tower. Go play some golf and shut the hell up. Let's have another election. Let's find out through an investigation. Let's find out that Trump actually had a hand in fixing the election, in speaking to Russia and encouraging them to hack the DNC into Hillary Clinton stuff, and he had a deal with WikiLeaks to release it at various intervals, that this was a concentrated political move that was orchestrated by Trump or people within his organization. That would make the election null and void. You can't say, oh, yes, it was done illegally, now we got to live with it. No, you null and void it, and you do it again. I would hope if we did it again that Hillary wouldn't run and Trump wouldn't run. I would hope you could change that part of it, too. But that's what we need in this country, a do-over, because it wasn't done right. Stuff went on that shouldn't have. Let's investigate that. That's important. That's important stuff. Not this Obama bugging the Trump Tower. That was made up. That's a lie to get you away from your concern about the Trump people being involved with Russia. That's the focus. Donald knows he's up that creek of shit in that particular category. He knows that. He knows he can lose it all. And he's scattering now to get the attention off of that Russia thing any way he can. I guarantee you. And if that is the case, it should be a do-over. Because we, in the eyes of the world, need to be authentic again. We need to be trusted. We need to be revered. And right now, with Bozo the Clown sitting in the Oval Office, this has become a joke. Do you know that the Russian-run press, they have media in Russia, but it's pretty much influenced by the government, that they are now starting, in Russia, they are starting to say bad, weird things about Trump. Before, Trump was the hero. They wanted Trump in office. Now that Trump is, like, screwing up a lot, Russia's saying, they started saying negative things about Trump because Trump ain't working out the way they thought he would. They thought that he would be a strong, impressive leader that could work with Russia and that they could be buddies and run the world together. Now they're seeing that Trump, ooh, this guy's problems, man. This guy's waiting to plummet into a mud pit here. I think I should wash my hands of this jerk. Can't have it both ways, Russia. All right, that's enough about him today. I need to somehow get my mind off of him because I'm not going to go down the road like other people do. I'm going to just stand back and let the man self-destruct. It's like a football team that's playing lousy football. You just will just stand here and watch your team disintegrate and you'll lose that game. So let's talk about something else. When your world's falling apart and you need to bring it back together again, the best way to do that is to talk about sex.
Come on. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Wait a minute. Trump talks about sex. About the fact that all girls want to kiss him. He carries Banaka with him because they inevitably will want to kiss him. Because of his stature and his power, he can grab any pussy he wants at any particular time he cares for. And, wow, okay, I can't even talk about sex anymore. Now I can't even have sex anymore because Trump does it. Oh, no. Can you imagine that Donald Trump, let's fat shame him, okay? Because he does it to other people. Can you believe that Donald Trump, that overweight, fat Oompa Loompa, and I mean that with great respect, he actually has sex with that mail order bride that he brought over? Yeah, I know. Ugh. Oh, my God. I know. I can't have it anymore either. God. I think the only thing left to do is to hold up a picture of a puppy dog.
Aww.
Oh, look at that dog. Look at the way the ears just flop on the side. Oh, that's the big puppy dog eyes.
Aww.
Yeah. Oh, and look, the puppy dog is eating its own feces now.
Aww.
Look at it open up its wormhole and look at the turds coming out.
Aww.
Of that thing. Isn't that? And it's turning around and enjoying it now again.
Aww.
That's beautiful. Are you all right? Am I going too far? Am I making this difficult for you?
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, and that gets you a podcasting high five. It's like a regular high five, but no one knows that you did it. Or cares. Or anything, really.
All right, that's enough.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
All right, here's the funny story. And it's really not funny, but it is. It isn't, but it is funny. It's not funny, but it is. It is, but it is. It isn't, but it's really funny. It's funny, but it's not funny. As I told you on yesterday, if you remember, on yesterday's program, on Monday morning, I went to a surgeon who worked on my nose because I had some skin cancer on the topical part of my nose. And I thought it was just a thing where they come in, they stick a needle in your nose, a little Novocaine, and they do a little scraping, and you're done. But not the case. They actually open up your nose and they scrape out the all the cells they can possibly find. It was more than I thought it was. So the entire right side of my face is now black and blue and purple and all beautiful colors of the rainbow. And my nose hurts like a mother. And you know how much a mother can hurt you. And there are stitches in my nose. I look like someone really screwed up a Frankenstein movie. So I spent the rest of Monday and most of yesterday on Tuesday avoiding the public because I have a gigantic bandage on my nose that is white. It looks like I'm the Elephant Man. It's gigantic. It looks like I was in some type of a horrific plane accident or something like that. It's just horrible. So I've been avoiding the public. Yesterday, I got my balls together and I said, listen, balls, we're going to be going out today. We're going to go to the supermarket because I've been told by the surgeon, do not exert yourself. Don't even bend down. Just relax. Just do nothing. And I said, well, that's what I do professionally. I think I can pull that off. So I did. I watched TV all day. I laid in bed to the point of extreme boredom. And around 4 o'clock, I said to myself, look, I'm hungry. All there is to do now is eat and gain like 50 pounds because of this probably. So I'm going to the supermarket and I'm going to get myself some food. And all of a sudden, I didn't care about what I looked like anymore. I put on a baseball cap and got in my car and drove to a nearby supermarket. And I look like someone had just beat me up in the parking lot. I look awful. I just look awful. No, don't say it. So I walked into the supermarket and I started looking at stuff. And it was like there was a show. You millennials don't know the show. It's Candid Camera. And there were other shows, Punked, I think it was called, on MTV, where you would play these jokes on people. It looked like I was playing a joke. I was an actor to get the response of people who were looking at hideous people in public. And the reactions of the common shoppers when they saw me walking around with bandages all over my face and all puffed up and stuff. And first thing I did was I went to the deli counter and I figured, that's disgusting. I figured they wouldn't want me anywhere near the food. So the deli guy looks up at me and he says, can I help you? And you could tell at the end of the sentence, it wasn't a full flow sentence. When he saw me, it was, can I help you? It's just like, wow. Like all of a sudden he caught on like, oh Jesus, look at that. I got some seafood salad because what else do you do at a deli? And he says, anything else? And I said, no. And I walked away and he said, have a nice day. But you could tell that he was very uncomfortable. He wanted to say, what the hell happened to you? But he didn't. Because that was what I found out when I interacted with people who saw my face in distress. They never brought it up. They avoided it. I went to the meat counter and I asked for a half a pound of 93% ground beef. I like it lean, baby. And the guy comes waddling over. People who work in the meat departments of supermarkets, they don't walk, they waddle. He waddles over. They look like they're just about to go under the knife themselves to have their meat cut off. You know what I'm saying? They always, and there's always red blood all over their aprons. They're lovely people. And I figured, well, this is what I kind of look like. I look disheveled and butchered up too. So the guy comes waddling over and he says, Can I help you? He catches it. He can. And I said, yeah, 1/2 pound of ground beef. He starts measuring out 1.5 pounds. And I said, no, I just needed 1/2 pound. It was like I rattled him so much he couldn't remember the poundage involved in my request. I rattled him. That or maybe my mouth was all wrapped up in my bruising and he couldn't understand me. You can understand me. You wouldn't know that I had a physical face thing going on here. No, I think I'm talking perfectly clearly, or at least as clearly as I ever talk to you. So I got my 1/2 pound of ground beef. Then I started walking around the store because I felt emboldened. I don't know if that's a word, but I felt bold. And I started walking around, and I just was looking at the reaction of people. I had my baseball cap on, and I put the beak down, so they really couldn't see my disfigured face until I looked up. And I know how John Merrick felt. So, the Elephant Man, thank you very much. So, the reactions of people were just weird. They never said anything. They looked for a split second and then turned away and I think threw up. I'm not sure. So then I go to the checkout lane and there's this girl who is the cashier. And I put my items on the belt. And when you're a cashier, you don't look at the people. You're just looking at the register. You're looking at the food. You're looking at the scanner. You kind of don't look up. And so I put my food down, and she starts scanning. And then she does the greeting, which cashiers are supposed to do. And she looks up as she does the greeting, and you could see the expression on her face was like, oh. And she says, and this is where she messed up. She says, how are you today? And which is, you know, that's the line that you're supposed to say as a cashier. And my response was, not too good, could be better. And, you know, that was an opening for her to say, oh my goodness, are you okay? Or what happened to you? That's what I was looking for. I was looking for some kind of honest response. Instead, she just titters. She titters. She goes, that's a titter. And oddly enough, when you titter, your tits don't have to move. You can titter without your tits reacting. I noticed that too, which I don't think I was supposed to notice, but I did notice that. I noticed that her tits didn't move. It's a joke. Of course, I didn't notice that much. So I pay for the food and I leave, and that was the end of my excursion. It's fun. It's a good time. So if you ever get mutilated by a surgeon, no, actually he did a wonderful job. I'm just recuperating at this time. Thank God I'm in radio. I got to tell you, because otherwise this would be extremely embarrassing. There's your funny story. I hope you enjoyed it at my expense.
That was a really funny story, Ron.
Thank you.
But then again, I'm in the 3rd grade.
Oh. Well, I guess you are in the 3rd grade, but at least you can recognize a funny story. And that's important to me.
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full 1/2 pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something-like-cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Well, you are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. I do this every single weekday. Usually. If it's Christmas or Thanksgiving, I may not. Or I may. You won't ever know. There's so many ways to listen to me. Your ears are the best method. You can go to whatever and listen to it there. We're on the Podbean network. You can go directly to newenglandbroadcasting.com. You can listen any time of day. Or you can go to TuneIn Radio, or you can go to iTunes, or many other of the podcast outlets available to you on your computers and your smartphones and your laptops and your whatever. The great thing about the podcast thing, which I do prefer over the broadcast radio, is the fact that you can listen to it at any time. When I was on the radio for 25 freaking years, people would always say, what did you talk about today? And I couldn't say, well, listen to it. I could only say, well, you missed it. You weren't, well, I worked during those hours. I can't listen to your show then. Or I'm jerking off at 10 in the morning. I can't listen. Now you have no excuse. You can listen to any show at any time, anywhere. So I don't want to hear that anymore. Since we've been doing this podcast thing, there are over 600 shows. You want to binge listen? You can do it till you die, pretty much. I also have a Facebook page, which is of no value to me whatsoever. If you care to go there, it's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. It serves absolutely no purpose whatsoever. Perhaps email is your preferred weapon of choice. In which case, you can email me, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. There, you can communicate with me. I don't respond necessarily, but you can communicate with me. I mean, to me. And only nice things, please. I don't respond to negative comments because I don't have to. If you've written a book or you have something interesting that you wish to be interviewed about, we could take that under consideration for a near future program. Okay? Our show is also picked up by various syndicated radio stations throughout the country, which is usually dependent on how many times I curse during the program, if I do, or if they're removed. You'll notice that the length of the program is less than 1 hour, so that these syndicated stations can add their own commercials and make their money, as I would like to do, and usually do. You know, there's nothing wrong with being different. And by being different, I mean maybe you have some type of a disability, perhaps physical disability. Maybe you're ADD or AADD or AAA or AA or AARP, something like that. Maybe you're dyslexic. Maybe you have an overactive bladder. I don't know. But you can still be quite special, and you must celebrate your specialness and your talent. Dr. Gail Saltz recognized this and wrote a book about it. It's The Power of Different, and it's actually fascinating, and it's. And we're going to talk to her right now. Hi, Dr. Saltz. How are you?
Very good, Ron. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure having you here. Dr. Gail Saltz is a psychiatrist and best-selling author, and this is an interesting piece called The Power of Different. It's the link between disorder and genius. The inference here is that in order to be above the crowd, you have to be different.
So what I would say is not in order to mm-hmm. so much as actually having one of these differences, yeah. A symptom of mental illness, a learning disability, actually is hardwired linked to very particular strengths, depending on what the issue is you're struggling with. Mm-hmm. So that in some ways, people who do have these differences mm-hmm. Have a very particular ability, heightened creativity, original thought, innovative thought, pattern recognition, visual-spatial relation ability, photographic memory. It depends on yeah. what the issue is. But the point is that, to some degree, these people actually, yeah, have a bit of an edge in terms of the potential for genius or extraordinary talent.
Yeah. I mean, we look back at people like Einstein, I suppose, and I don't know much about him, but the connotation is that his focus was so extreme as a genius that he was not like the rest of us. And that makes...
I think there is, you know, of course we can never 100% retrospectively yeah. diagnose someone, but there's a lot of evidence, for instance, in Einstein's early life, that he could hyper-focus when mm-hmm. it came to, you know, physics and math and things that he was very engaged with, but that in other areas, he not so much. In fact, mm-hmm. he actually, in some ways, performed very poorly as a student in other
right.
subject matter
right.
And was even removed from school. And he had a lot of impulsivity and difficulty in relationships, all things that suggest attention deficit disorder, mm-hmm. Which is known to be linked to this high incidence of original thought, innovative, creative thought, because people with ADD have difficulty
yes.
regulating their concentration, but when they're engaged, they have sort of more creative thought, more original thought.
Yeah. I mean, there's a term that is, it's degrading, but the term is idiot savant, and it has the word idiot in it, so it's not a wonderful term, but its definition is interesting.
Well, so being a savant, which is a category often of people who actually are somewhere on the autism spectrum, who have extreme, again, this is a link
yes.
between something that has to do with hardwiring, why it's difficult for you to, let's say, socialize mm-hmm. or look people in the face or read social cues. But that same hardwiring also often means for some people that they have extraordinary
yes.
ability. It may be in math. It may be verbal.
Yes.
It may be, as someone I profile in the book, for example, Matt Savage is musically is a savant. I mean, he has
yes.
perfect pitch, yes. read music at a very young age, you know, played with the Boston Symphony as a child.
Uh-huh.
You know, so yes, extraordinary ability.
Is there, I don't know what I'm talking about, but is it like a balance where if you're incredibly genius in one sense in the brain, that may you may be lacking in another part of the brain? In other words, can you not have it all? It's just that the balance is different.
You know, I don't want to say you can't have it all, because as really what I elucidate in the book is we all have very different brains from each
right.
other, and so there are going to be, even amongst people who have no issues going on, mm-hmm. we have different wiring. But so some people obviously have a lot, let's say, you
yes.
know, a balance of a lot of different strengths. But for many people, and particularly in this arena that I'm talking about, there does seem to be one area
yes.
of really, you know, intense ability or strength. And so, for instance, you might be sort of more on the mathy side or more on the visual spatial side,
right.
Or more on the, you know, what we used to call Asperger's,
yes.
But now we call mild autism. They were thought of as these sort of little adults.
Right.
Why can they speak that way? Because
right.
they had incredible verbal
right.
skills.
Right.
So yes, there is often one area that's really stands out.
Then there's what I see is that when you have incredible abilities, then your social skills may lack because your social reaction is that I'm alone in the world. Nobody understands me. I don't mix with people. I know I'm different. And then you start getting like depressed and those start turning into anxiety. And I mean, does that feed into that area or is it all brain chemical?
Well, no, I think you're bringing up a super important point, which is, you know, it's 2017, but we still stigmatize mental health issues. And the problem with that is that often people who are struggling do feel isolated. They do feel alone. They don't feel that they can say what's going on and feel still embraced, let's say, socially in society. And that keeps people from getting treatment. It hurts people's self-esteem. It may cramp their ability to, frankly, demonstrate the gift that they have. And it's important for everyone, but for parents to recognize that these are common. You know, evolutionarily, there's a reason that these have stuck around, these kinds of problems. And to some degree, it may be because of the things, the strengths that come along with it. But close to half of all Americans have, at some point in their life, a mental health diagnosis. So it's not like this is a rare thing. But we still, unfortunately, shame people. And that does keep them isolated, which, as you point out, can make them feel more depressed.
Yeah, well, even the president does it, so I guess it's okay. Anyway, no comment. You don't have to comment. Don't say anything.
Goldwater rule. Can't comment.
Yeah, can't comment. So is the message that we should embrace people that we have talked about in that category, and that would help socially bring that back to everybody having worth?
Yes, I think that we need to recognize that if you are suffering with one of these issues, you know, the brain is an organ like any other organ. It is not your fault. This is not a moral failing. You know, this is a, you know, something going on with neurons, something going on with chemicals, something that needs attention and needs treatment, because treatment will mean that you can get back on track and suffer far less. And that's important. So I'm certainly saying people should get treatment where needed, but I'm also saying that we should recognize and help them recognize the strength that they have and be able to utilize that and play to that, whether it's for, you know, for vocation or for the greater good of society. I mean, if you look back at the Einsteins and the Van Goghs and the Hemingways and the Abraham Lincolns, I mean, where would we be without them? You know, the most iconic geniuses in history did have a mental health issue or learning disability. And, you know, if we removed them because of stigma, you know, there would be no history there, if you know what I'm saying.
I mean, I go as far to say, and I'm not in your field, I go as far to say that every one of them did. Michelangelo, they were all like extraordinary people who were so focused that it and so talented that they became outcasts.
Well, you know what? It's not because they were talented. It's because they had this difference about them that really isolated them. And so even though they contributed so much to our world, right, in art and music and leadership, they suffered a lot in their lifetimes because socially, you know, they had difficulty integrating.
Yeah. This fascinating subject. We've not talked about it on the show before, and I thought we had talked about everything. This is pretty cool. The book's available everywhere.
It is pretty cool. I hope, you know, it's out today. Mm-hmm. I hope people will take a read because undoubtedly they or someone in their lives or their child will have something to contend with, and I really try to give people a path for how to make the most of their gift.
Great. And actually, if there is someone like that, they might find comfort in the book in the sense that, I guess, you know, with any, if you want to call it disease or any differences, We always find comfort when we find other people that are in the same boat as we are. And
well, I think if people will take a look at the numbers, they will see there are many people in that boat.
Yeah.
We just don't talk about it. And
well, we are now.
I think it is important. Yeah. It is important to recognize that they're not alone and to seek some help.
Yeah. Is there a website people can visit for more information?
Sure. My website is www.drgailsaltz.com. That's drgailsaltz.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can tweet me also, Dr. Gail Saltz, at Dr. Gail Saltz. And of course, it's available, you know, everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere books are.
It's called The Power of Different, The Link Between Disorder and Genius. By the way, Saltz is S-A-L-T-Z. So that people can find you. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Fascinating stuff, ladies and gentlemen, I do submit to you. Well, we're just about out of time for today. Did you have a good time today? Did you have a good time today? It's time for me to go do the dishes right now, dish by dish, fork by fork, until they're all clean. And that is really a parable to life itself. I can't connect the two right now, but I will find some way to do it. You know, as O.J. once said, I could stand in the middle of Manhattan and shoot somebody and not lose any followers, and didn't prove true for O.J., nor for many of the other murderers in our country. But apparently, in the mind of Donald Trump, that is true. And unfortunately, in the mind of the people that follow him aimlessly, that also is true. And that is cultishly scary. I think my only purpose right now is to make you not scared, but concerned. It's the fault of our political system as to what happened here. Donald Trump does fat shaming. I call it country shaming. He has shamed this country. I'm not talking about his policies. I'm not talking about his repeal of Obamacare, his travel ban, whatever else crazy shit he comes up with, or it may, that's okay. I've lived through Republican administrations and I've disagreed with many of their policies, agreed with some of them. That has nothing to do with this. This has to do with the personality of the schmuck in the White House. It has to do with his uncontrollable lying, deceit, manipulation. And if you love Donald Trump, I tell you something, take it to the bank, you are being manipulated. Don't be proud of that. Someday, if you think deep enough, you'll get it. Ladies and gentlemen, join me again tomorrow, will you please? I wish you peace.